Blog Talk Radio.
Hetepu means being at peace, feeling good inside. When you're in your home, feeling happy, feeling joy. It also means when you have done well and when you've done a wonderful thing for someone else. That thing that most of us are striving for in life, the quest for inner peace.
Shalom, peace and freedom, and Hetepu. This is Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku. Welcome to Wat Dau, the Kemetic Path to Peace. I am so pleased to be here with you again for another Kemetic lesson and sharing about our glorious tradition and also how this tradition can bring you to inner peace. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have knowledge about our history and our culture, but when you focus on bringing in the spiritual elements, then it is also about what we call living the culture, so that you understand it to be real and right in your life, and truly what is the norm for you in everyday life. The path to peace is not one that is easy. It is not one of people skipping down the garden path together and all of those stereotypical images that come about when we refer to peace. But it is a process, just like all aspects of growth in life are a process. And so today, going to be talking about Jehuti, the great peacemaker, and how you can hone greater skills of being a peacemaker, but also of living with peace and at peace in your life. Let's start out with prayer. Sharer. There are several words for prayer. Sharer and also oh my. Spirit. And we're going to start out with the my Kemetic translation of the Lord's Prayer. Yes. And it's called Sharer Nebet. Utnu Yetafnu Necheru Tinetiu Imcherit. Our mother, father, Necheru, who exist in heaven. Renuchenu Jeser. Your names are sacred. Your kingdom come. Ir ibechenu. Your will is done. Imtacher impet. On earth as in heaven. Kerdinu herupen. Give us this day. Kaunu. Our daily bread. Nechat in achau. Have mercy on our misgivings. Cherne katnu achainu. As we pardon our transgressors. Utebnu imeset. Turn us from evil. Nechem im edet, rescue us from our folly. Sutenichenu, neturechenu, neturichenu, your kingdom, your power, your glory and divinity, forever and ever. Amen. 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 The 42 oracles of Ma'at. Enecherech Ma'at, Dua Ma'at, Belbi Ma'at, Chekech and Jerupen. Show your face. I pray, my aid, for your guidance on this day. I will not do wrong. I will not steal. I will not immerse myself. I will not violate another being physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I will not hoard, disrespect, abuse, or misuse the land. I will not waste precious food. I will not waste precious water. I will not jealously desire to obtain that which is not mine. I will not eavesdrop or pry into matters outside the dictate of nature. I will not defile or debase my purity. I will not abuse my sexuality. I will not engage in infidelity with another man or woman. I will not in sexual fantasies or sexual acts with a child. I will not cause needless terror. I will not be arrogant and egoistic. I will not act on selfish, destructive aggression. I will not cultivate a quarrelsome nature. I will not take a life outside of my age, nor disrespect the life force. I will not cause the shedding of tears. I will not sow seeds of regret. I will not mistreat children. I will not mistreat animals. I will not be vengeful and angry except for a just cause within my age. I will not be easily incited to action or contention. I will not uphold an untruth on or against someone else's behalf. I will not lie. I will not raise my voice unnecessarily. I will not speak maliciously against another being. I will not exaggerate. I will not talk too much. I will not act with sneaky manipulation. I will not be impatient or judge in haste. I will not entertain impure thoughts. I will not wish evil upon another being. I will not perform negative energy work. I will not turn my ears away from words of truth. I will not desecrate holy places. I will not desecrate holy traditions. I will not steal from or neglect giving to the temple offerings. I will not rob from the deceased. I will not blaspheme the Most High Nature. I will not betray my venerated ancestors. Thank you, Ma'at, for your good work.
And it's a rocky team capra, capra camam necheru. Hek webenek, tete demutek, hek team sute necheru.
Erdi Keprit, Mut Kepriu, Kepri and Heruten. Erdi Kepri, Tef Kepriu, Kepri and Heruten. Kere, Dwau, Dwau, Dwau. Anacherak Necheru, Dua Necheru. Erdi Necheru, Maetanu, Ank Ujaseneb, Mer Urek Echetepu. Em Anki, Em Homi, Em Kredi, Em Hau Akeru, Em Hau Kepri, Em Hau Kemet. Im how taurt sekinu 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 duau 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 en ana charak yakut ana charak shapsu dua yakut dua shapsu erdi yakut is shapsu rek tek chekau mer neferet etepu rek chekemet anu anu kut im shapsu nebu Sekinu, sekinu, sekinu. Dwau, dwau, dwau.
Enk. Enk. Enk.
And finally, the Njutsu prayer. This is a short form. This one I'll interpret. Nechavak Njutsu Nebu. Dua Njutsu Nebu. Anuk Njutsu Nebu. Anuk imakut, I am a sacred vessel. Yei ebuab, I come with pure intentions. Iri nihat jeser, I do sacred work. Dua semi, help me please. Erdi ank nefer, watch nefer, mer nefer ish anu nefer. Bring me a good life, good health, good love, and good revenue. Iati, embrace me. Heki, guide me. Ureki, protect me. Semi shespsia, help me receive wisdom. Me sefsef ma'ez im anki. May all this flow together harmoniously in my life. Anuki makut, I am a sacred vessel. Yei ebuab, I come with pure intentions. Irini hat jeser, I do sacred work. Semi sekepi, help me advance successfully. Dua enjitunebu, thank you, water spirits. Of light. Enjitu neferia. Enjitu rerea. Enjitu enkutenmerea. Anuk kere. Thank you, water spirits of light. Water spirits of the greatly good, great nurturers, of great light and of great love. I am in your hands. Thank you. All right. Keep things in appropriate balance with opening in prayer and petitioning the guardians. It's always important to be able to ask for what you want from the guardians. Some people think that you're supposed to bargain through offerings. The ultimate offering that you bring is your life. Your life. And through being in perfect alignment, or at least getting close to it, with your will and, well, with the divine will, not your will. Because a lot of times we will things into our lives that aren't supposed to be there. There's a lesson that always comes with that. But it's important to allow yourself or get yourself into the divine flow so that you are able to attract the things that are necessary for your journey into your life, and so that you can be the better person and being the absolute best that you can be. And it's a growth process, you know. It's not about being perfect. It's about understanding the lessons that come along in life, learning from them, and tempering yourself through your lessons, through your observations, through your experiences, so that you can be the best person that you can be in this incarnation, in this flesh, and with this mind and with this soul and spirit, indeed. And your soul and spirit well, the spirit is eternal. It is eternal energy. So with each time that we come, we have another lesson to learn, another round to go in our getting closer to the divine force within each incarnation. Give thanks and praises. Just a few quick announcements before we get into the lesson. We, Akeru Temple of the True Living Waters, will be having our second service now. We finally started over at the Refall headquarters, the second service at Refall, I want to clarify. This temple has been in existence in its various forms since 1999. In terms of our having our new home at Refall headquarters in Newark at 269-271 South 9th Street in Newark, and the zip is 07103 for those of you who need it for GPS. For those of you who are becoming public transportation, you just need to get to Newark Penn Station and go to information there and ask for, where you'd be point, how to get pointed to the number 5 or the 39 bus. When you get on the bus, tell the driver you're going to South 9th Street, okay? And so we are very excited. This is a community place. And being a community temple, one that is for our people, one that is for peace, for healing, for education, Refall headquarters is the perfect new home for us because of the fact that Refall is also about the community and community education and bringing greater levels of peace through awareness and action. So, services from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Please come in clean attire. I am not insisting on your coming in sacred whites. The term for your sacred whites, that's sheshpet. You don't have to have white garments. That's your choice. You don't have to have African garments. That is your choice. Also, I just ask that you come in clean attire and that you are clean as you enter into the sacred space. I do not want to discourage people or people to think that they can't come because they don't have certain garb. Your presence is what is needed. Just be mindful of coming clean. That's not only for spirit, but that's also in consideration for the people who are around you, okay? So we have a great deal that we are bringing, that we are offering in the service, including the sermon and also the comedic version of Shuit Kerest, which is where Eucharist came from, our healing session, and also information that will be brought regarding how you can keep ahead of this winter season and the coldness and so forth and avoiding cold and flu. We have Agutakaya, who is going to be bringing us 5 minutes of information with that, and brother who is known as General Messiah, who is a spiritual warrior. Well, he is a cultural warrior in the community who will be bringing the cultural community report with events in the community and also with some words of wisdom regarding things we should know about what's going on in the diaspora, in the motherland, and also in the Caribbean. So, but above all, what we are excited about is the chance to fellowship. It's so good to get together with people who are seeking higher love and higher wisdom and who are coming with pure intentions. Pure intentions. And that means leaving any kind of feelings of competition or cattiness, ill will behind you, and coming with the pure heart of nature that that resides within all of us. Certainly we have challenges that we all face during the week, and sometimes being able to just get to a church service, and especially with it being an African-centered church service, it is the pick-me-up that we need in order to help us to get through the week, and hearing words of encouragement, also knowing that, yes, you can make it. You can. In spite of how hard it may seem, you can make it. Another good thing about fellowship is that it gives you a community that is able to help you when you are facing trying times. You know, my grandmother always used to say, you can't live in this world alone, and that's so true. And sometimes it's just a matter of connecting with people who are of good intentions, who are able to give that hand that we all occasionally need, indeed. Okay, we also have a trip coming up in February to the Brooklyn Museum, first Saturday. Now, we had to postpone the trip because there was so much going on in October when it was originally planned, so we postponed it now to the first Saturday in February. First Saturdays at Brooklyn Museum are amazing and a lot of fun, and are free. There are events going on all throughout the museum, but we go to look at the African exhibit, particularly on the first floor, and then also on the third floor, the African Kemetic exhibit. And there are always interchangeable parts that are coming in and out of there, and there's always something to learn. No matter how many times I go, I always come away with something different. But I also point out the need to go in with information ahead of time so you can tell what really is true in terms of the information that is posted as opposed to what isn't. Truth is highly important. And you'll see a lot of things that are described as this may be this or this could have been this. When you are living the culture, when you really study, then you know what this really is. Okay, so I'll be acting as tour guide and explaining various things. And so if you wish to join us for the trip, please, by all means, reach out to me. Give me a call at 646-228-1185, or you can send a message via our Akeru Ministries website. That's Akeru Kemetic, Temple Kemetic, K-H-A-M-E-T-I-C, A-K-E-R-U-K-H-A-M-E-T-I-C, T-E-M-P-L-E, akerukemetictemple.info. There's a place to fill out a form if you wish to get in touch with me, or even if you need to have prayer. I can add you to my daily prayer list, and you know, even if you just need to have someone to just kind of vent to, talking things out is very important. Okay, so, you know, since the last lesson, we've experienced the passing of President Nelson Mandela, and his passing was definitely felt throughout the world. I'm always interested in seeing how there are people who are younger and don't really quite know who he was or understand the impact of him, his life, and his journey as a warrior and ultimately as a peacemaker. And by the way, his name was originally Rolihlahla, okay? And it was interpreted by many to mean troublemaker. And a teacher renamed him Nelson. I would like to think that instead of it meaning troublemaker, that it really stands for one who spots trouble and goes to great means to correct it. You know, which could be perceived as troublemaking, but depends on what side of the coin you're on. He endured a great deal, and people are trying to paint this broad stroke with him as though he came out of prison and just wanted peace and forgot all about the struggle. No. What he had decided when he walked out of prison was that he was not going to hate his oppressors, because he realized that if he did that he would still be imprisoned by them. And he decided to release the hate. That doesn't mean that he forgot, because as you said, he spent all those years in prison. How could you forget that? And it doesn't mean that he forgot about why he was in there, and it doesn't mean that he forgot about keeping up the fight for justice for his people. In the overall path for peacemaking, he made sure, though, to announce that he had released himself from the hate that he had for his oppressors, which is empowering, yes, but also strategically was very wise, because there were a lot of people who wanted for there to be an outburst and all of this with his release. And so his strategic move in announcing that was the first step in moving in a peaceful and, how do I want to say this? It was a wise strategic move, okay? And in the path to peace, when you are in leadership especially, there are times when you make decisions that are for the greater good. And the comedic peacemaker is Jehuti. You know, this is becoming a running gag. Every time I'm on the air, I get bombarded. Even though I still tell people I'm on the air, I will still get bombarded with calls and texts. Okay. Well, at least it's good to be wanted, yes? I give thanks and praises. All right, let's find out more about what peace means in the Kemetic tradition, and also about Jehuti, the great peacemaker. There are 30 specific words for peace. Everyone's familiar with Hotep, Hetep, Hetep, who Hetep, who means peace and blessings. Hetep is peace. Hotep, same thing, okay? And I've shared this in previous shows. But Hetep, in truth, refers to peace with great sacrifice. With great sacrifice. The level of peace that was initially exacted by President Mandela was Hetep, because it was peace with sacrifice in terms of making the announcement, I'm not going to hate you all. Doesn't mean, though, that I'm going to stop fighting, but and for the greater good. What does peace with sacrifice mean? And why is it peace with sacrifice? Well, I've explained to you all before in previous lessons how Hetep is symbolized by the Hetep tablet, which was the offering tray that was carried by priesthood to into Kemetic service or temple service before the Necheru. Also, the Hetep tablet was carried by folks who had lost a loved one, and offerings of food and beverage were on the Hetep tablet and placed in strategic areas of the temple or either of a burial site in order to, quote-unquote, appease the Necheru, okay? It was a peace offering on behalf of the person who had transitioned. For the person carrying the Hetep tablet, who is in priesthood, symbolically, really, it means my life is a living sacrifice for peace, in this work for peace. When you enter ministry, because priesthood is ministry, that means that you are teaching people how to live more peacefully and peaceably through spiritual traditions. And so it is an act of sacrifice. I have taken now to saying Shalem, Shalem, which means peace and freedom, because it is something we should get into our consciousness in order to achieve peace. Yes, there is sacrifice when it comes to peace. You have to go into negotiations with folks a lot of times, and they may not be with people you necessarily like, especially if you're in leadership. And you have to work across the board, hopefully to be able to achieve some level of joint communication that is acceptable to both parties. Doesn't always work out that way, but you lay down your arms, so to speak, and work on entering into a peaceful agreement. You come to learn what each other's triggers are. Okay, well, this means this to this person, this means this to this person. All right, so that means I'm going to temper what I say so that I don't step on toes, and so that we're able to further our communication. Or sometimes it's a matter of letting things go, you know, in order to continue peaceful communications. It comes down to observing, well, is what this person said really that important? Do I choose to make an issue of that? And so wise speech and careful speech, truthful speech, but with sagacity, that is makeru, correct speech, is to be employed. Now, in today's society, we are often encouraged to either just shut up and look the other way when people don't feel like dealing with what's comfortable or can't easily interpret what's going on or just don't want to be bothered because it seems like it's too much of an effort, or to just blurt out whatever is on your mind. That is not wisdom. It's not. Jehuti, who represents the divine mediator, he's able to make a peaceful settlement between the two parties. He is meditation, mediation. He is wisdom. He is stillness. And he is also the divine judge. Now, what lessons do we get from him? Well, first of all, let's look at his symbol. He is the ibis. The ibis is the bird that stands in the lake and has one leg bent and elevated and is standing in silent observance. Lakes represent ancestors. That's because they are deep, deep, still waters. When you have lakes and ponds, know that you are in the presence of great ancestors and you're able to access ancestral wisdom. Anytime you go to the water, though, let me just tell you, you need to go with some type of an offering, not just yourself. You need to come with something, whether it's flowers or sometimes it's shiny objects because you're dealing with the water spirits here and the deep, 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 deep element of the water spirits, and coming to a greater understanding of what offerings are necessary, and they are not blood offerings at all, okay? That should be done any time you enter the water, especially if you are a comedic person of consciousness. You can't just go get in the water, okay? It's rude, it's selfish, and it's a breach of protocol, and it is basically, well, I'm just going to go get mine. Okay, you should really follow a certain protocol. Okay, now going back to the whole thing about lakes and the ibis. The ibis is able to maintain balance just standing on the one leg. That takes work. That takes a lot of work. And in yoga, in what has become known as yoga, the position or the pose that is called tree is not tree. It is ibis. It is ibis. Okay? So maintaining balance while you are in the water. Water represents emotions. Still water represents calmed emotions, not giving in to your feelings. It represents the wisdom that comes with being able to stop and think, to listen, the demen, listen, and to make a fair assessment based on everything that you take in. The Ibis observes and listens and stands for a long period of time in silence. You'll notice with elders, because the Ibis also represents elders, and another symbol or word that is associated with Yehudi is also Yakut or Yakut, the high ancestors of light. So there are lessons about elders that go along with this. But if you observe elders, what happens? Elders tend to slow down. Elders do not expend as much energy and think wisely about what they are going to do before they do it because they realize they need to preserve their energy. They stop and think about whether what they're thinking about is worth putting any energy into. Usually they don't just jump up and run, not wise elders anyway. And it's not always because of the bodies being broken down. No. I've met some elders who have outwalked me, outdanced me. Elders, my elders, and who have taken excellent care of their bodies. But still, in talking to them, you find out that they make very careful decisions about what they're going to do. Now, how does that also translate over into dealing with other people? You find that elders, wise elders, tend to listen more, okay, and also tend to make assessments based on what they see. They take in a person's body language. They take in the tonality of voice, all of that, and they take in exactly what kind of energy the person is putting out there. And this doesn't have to be from any particular spiritual system. This is just life. These are the lessons that come with life. You know how you start dealing with people and you start reading them? You know? I mean, this is the black community reading. That's, you know, when you're really scanning everything about them, you're taking everything about them, you're able to make an assessment based on what you can take in. So that is also a part of sagacity, wisdom, and the wisdom of Yehudi. Now, the whole thing about having balanced emotions is a huge part of this work because, listen, as a minister, I have people call me with things almost every day. And one of the great lessons that I learned from Grandmaster was, and I'm still working on this now, Grandmaster Cam would listen, and his face would be blank. Maybe once in a while an eyebrow would go up or something like that, but he would be listening stone-faced. And it wasn't because he didn't care. It was because he was listening with an impartial ear and taking in everything and observing, but mainly listening. And even if somebody got really emotional in front of him, he remained calm. This is crucial when you're dealing with other people. And because, you know, sometimes people come to you with stories. And, you know, I was just having a conversation with somebody today about how, well, what do you do when you're just dealing with one person's side of the story, you know? Because people coming from their experiences or whether they want to elicit more sympathy from you can break out with all this stuff that never actually happened. Or they greatly exaggerate it. And it is up to you as the counselor to be able to see whether or not this person is being a little extra or a lot extra, okay? And so by keying in also to that person's spirit, that's where that stillness comes in as well, and also the person's mind, the mind, because Yehudi also represents elements of the mind and high intellect. He receives. He is the left eye of the moon. And so the left side, yeah, the left side receives. It receives, yes. So in receiving information, you have to process. A lot of times I'm on the phone with people, and people are like, you still there? Well, it's because I'm just listening. Okay, and I'll say, I'm listening. And I'm processing at the same time. Processing is something that is an act of patience. You have to hone your patience and not rush to judgment. And especially if you have gone through a lot of different experiences, or even if you've gone through a few experiences, people have a tendency to just go from what they know. Many times when people come to you, they may be telling you about something you have no idea about. You haven't experienced it in your life, and you can't really make a fair assessment if you are just going to go by only what happened to you in relation to that. You need to expand your consciousness to try to understand. This is why it's important for people who are in leadership to have a vast amount of life experience when it comes to dealing with the public, because it gives you a broader base to understand from. But you need to be humble enough to say when you don't get something or when you haven't experienced it and you just really don't get it. The Kabbalistic word for humility, well, there are two, actually, chebenet and nekenu. Chebenet, humility. Nekenu, humility. The ibis is not the proud peacock, okay? Nor is he the most attractive bird out there. He is stately. To be stately means that you carry yourself with respect, but also with the appropriate humility. Because when you are in leadership, it's important to acknowledge that you don't necessarily know everything, to be humble enough to do that, so that way you can learn. It's also important enough to know when to keep your daggone mouth shut. You cannot be an effective leader if you're out there blabbing everything you know. Now, there are plenty of folks who get out there, and you know, as soon as they get initiated, they're out there showing off all the stuff they learned. They're in a hair salon or hanging with the boys, you know, and just talking all this stuff, information. First of all, if you are truly wise, then you'll come to understand there are certain things that you tell people and certain things that you do not. You do not bring up things that are way, way over people's heads just so you can try to pick yourself up. And there's some information that people are just not meant to know. If this is part of your journey, then you need to sit on that, okay, and ingest it for yourself. When it comes to, for instance, mystery schools, I have had to really put some of my students in check over the years. As soon as they've learned something in our Akeru Mystery School, and next thing you know, it's plastered all over Facebook. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait. Mystery school, that means that you are learning wisdom, and that part of that wisdom means to know when to talk and when not to, and that some things are not meant for the public, okay? So this is, again, where your ego needs to be removed from the situation so you can be humble enough to be sensitive to when to say something, when not to say something. Let me just share some words with you from the Hosea. Now, let me see. You know, I'm all over my apartment a lot of times with things, and I've got my spiritual books hither and yon, and let's see, hopefully nobody will ring my doorbell today like last time. Here's the Hosea. Okay. So, well, I tell you that one great advantage of being able to do this show from home or really anywhere you have your cell phone is that you can do it anywhere you have, if you happen to have your cell phone. Okay. So here are some words from the Hosea and from the book of Amenemope. Because, you see, one thing about Jehuti also is that he deals with fairness. If you are a judge, if you are an arbiter, if you are a mediator, then you have to deal fairly. But that also means you need to open yourself to how you treat people. Beware of robbing the poor and of oppressing the weak and helpless. Raise not your hand against the aged, nor address an elder with improper speech. Let not yourself be sent on an evil mission, nor stand in the company of those who have performed it. You know, I talk about this a lot. Some people like to disassociate themselves from people that they know are morally bereft, people that they know are slimy, but they will go and attend certain things where people are, this person is presenting something, and they're looking for a big crowd, and they will go to be in the crowd, but they're not really there for that person. They're there to network or, you know, to fellowship. Or listen, that's not the place to do it, because your presence there gives sanction and credibility to this person that you say is morally bereft. Okay? It's important to be consistent in ma'at. So that means that you're mindful of who you are spending your time with in whatever way that appears. Okay. Rage not against those who injure you, nor on your account answer them. That takes patience. If you're in leadership, you're going to have haters. You just are. In life, you're going to have haters. If you're preoccupied with people liking you, then you need to step down from leadership, first of all. Second of all, in life, if you're preoccupied with people liking you, then you're going to miss a lot, and you're going to find yourself compromising yourself in order to be likable to all people. Well, that's where it's important for you to know yourself and act from that place of self-knowledge. Okay? So when you have people who come at you, then there are times where, you know, there are times, again, you have to be sensitive to when to speak and when not to. There are times, yes, when you should address them. A lot of times, though, it's not necessary because truth comes out. Yes, you should defend yourself, but at other times, though, you need to have the wisdom to watch and wait to see if you should and when. People who are foolish generally end up telling on themselves, okay? And you can tell usually by their behavior if they really are living in a place of ma'at. There are many folks who are claiming to be part of the legacy who are out there cussing up a storm and pushing sex, leaders having sex with a lot of the people in their temple. And, you know, I mean, this is not to be considered correct behavior, okay? But moving forward, the wharf falls from under the wicked, and a flood of water washes them away. The north wind comes down to end their hour on earth and turns into a tempest. The thunder roars, and the crocodiles come without mercy. Okay, so now, see, this in that passage is talking about when you do not have to worry about being the mediator and when you know that higher forces will intervene for you. Because here's one thing. If you are doing your best to live in a righteous place, then eventually your victory will come. You don't sit back wringing your hands waiting for people to fall, but you just know that because of the divine order of things, that ma'at is ma'at, or ma'at is ma'at, sha'i is sha'i, iri is iri. What does that mean? Basically, karma is karma, okay? Let's move forward. Yes, in the third passage here, do not argue with the contentious, nor provoke them with words. Pause before those who interrupt and give way to those who verbally attack you. Sleep a night before speaking, for the unrestrained person is like a storm which bursts forth from a flame in a pile of straw. Mm-hmm. Now, the unrestrained man or woman in the temple is like a tree grown in unfertile ground. Its leaves wither quickly, and its unripe fruit falls to the earth. It reaches its end in the lumberyard, or it is floated far from its place, and its burial cloth becomes a flame of fire. But the self-mastered man or woman sets himself or herself apart. Let me read that again. The self-mastered man or woman sets himself or herself apart. That doesn't mean hiding, because there are some people who hide. They try to hide because they're in positions of leadership and don't want others to know that they don't know nothing, okay? Or they have so much of a lack of control in their lives, they're afraid of other people finding out. So it's not that kind of set apart. It is a being. It is a kind of setting apart that comes with maturity. The Kemetic word for maturity is teni, teni, T-E-N-I, teni. When you become mature, then you come to realize, you know what, I can't hang out with these cats over here. You know, they're just not vibing where I am, and I'm trying to move forward, and so I need to keep myself separated off. Just like for those who are really in spiritual consciousness and are working to elevate themselves, just from walking down the street, people can see there's something different about you. That's the idea, okay? Because of the fact that you are truly working on honing your character, controlling your emotions so that they are appropriate, and being of higher consciousness. Self-mastered man or woman sets himself or herself apart. He or she is like a tree grown in fertile ground. It grows green and doubles its yield of fruit. It has its place in the eyes of its owner. Its fruit is sweet. Its shade is pleasant. And its end is reached in the garden. If you are on a Blog Talk right now, on the Blog Talk page, you will eventually see in the pictures that I have posted for this episode that there is an image of Jehuti in front of the Tree of Life, supposed to be a Persea tree, along with Sashat. And in between them is the Nisu Seti. And Sashat represents the Tree of Life. Jehuti, because basically, if you read my book, the Cowrie Blessings book, New African Words of Wisdom, the chapter dealing with the secret, you will find out how he is related to Sashat and also the mouthpiece for her and for Ma'at. Before the women's mysteries went underground, the priests of Jehuti and absorbed information from the Sashat temple, and then the Sashat temple, along with the women's mysteries, went underground. But anyway, the whole thing about the Tree of Life and the metaphor here, it giving shade, its fruit being sweet, you've heard in the Bible about the fruits of the Spirit, and yes, that is all true. Because what is reflected in your character is what reflects the fruit that is yielded from your own tree. If your character is right, that means that people will find comfort from you. They are able to take refuge, that they are able to be nourished appropriately, okay? And the Tree of Life also represents high wisdom. They'll be able to receive wisdom from you that will help on help them on their journey. Okay. Rejoice not over riches gained by robbery, nor mourn because of poverty. If archers in front advance too far, then their company abandons them. The boat of the covetous is abandoned in the mud, but the ship of the self-mastered man and woman sails with the wind. Now, again, here we go with being aligned, divinely aligned with divine will. Pray then to Nishur each day as the sun rises, saying, grant me prosperity and health, and Nishur will give you all you need in life, and you will be safe from fear. Keep your tongue away from words of detraction, and you will be loved by the people. You will find your seat in the temple of Nature, and your gifts shall be among the offerings to Nature. You will be greatly honored in old age, duly concealed in your coffin, and safe from the wrath of Nature. Four, the unrestrained man, woman and man are like a wolf cub in the farmyard. They turn one eye against the other. They cause brothers and sisters to argue. They go before every wind like clouds. They dim the brightness of the sun. They bend their tail like a baby crocodile, curling up to inflict harm. Their lips are sweet, but their tongue is bitter, and a consuming fire burns in their belly. Do not jump to join such a one, lest you bring misfortune upon yourself. Let me tell you, I have posted on my Facebook page an article about selfish people and also about people who are deceitful in terms of having serious disorders and are pushing their own agenda, but they come speaking such sweet words. This is very typical in abusive situations. The person speaks sweet, 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 and it is so sweet, it's almost too good to be true. And a lot of times it's because it is. A lot of times it's a facade. It's not somebody who's truly honed his or her character. It's somebody who's putting on a front and wants you to swallow it so that way they'll let you into their world. Then they get on the inside of your world and you find out that they're confused and they're deceitful and they bring all of the confusion with them. And anything that they touch is going to be of confusion and create more confusion. It's important to be very careful because we in spiritual consciousness want so very much to connect with people who are good and who are not out here trying to showboat, who are not out here trying to use and abuse people. And because we want so much to believe all the super, super, super niceness, we don't see that it's pseudo-niceness. Then once you get close to them, then you realize, oh, is this what he's like? Is this what she's like? Wow, this person's vile. Then you've got to work on getting them out. As a teacher, I find this quite often happens, where, you know, you really got to scan people because I get suspicious as soon as people come just immediately too nice. And they want to come in, take over everything, and, you know, help with this, that, and the other. Generally what happens is that person, if they don't get what they want within their own agenda or they're working another agenda while you're thinking of doing something else, eventually that person will bounce and move on to another level of destruction. And, you know, you hopefully will not have to dismantle whatever destruction they have left behind them. It's important to be very, very careful, okay? We'll leave you a little more. Okay, do not speak falsely to anyone, for it is an abomination to Nitzur. Do not separate your heart from your tongue, and all your plans will be successful. You will have weight in the presence of others and be secure in the hands of Nitzur. Nitzur hates one who falsifies words, and the great abomination of Nitzur is deception and double dealing. What does this mean? And see, this also includes deceiving yourself. It's about dealing with truth. Speak and live your truth. Follow through with all intentioned plans that are of good intention and be consistent. Okay? You know, we're going to make this a part two. This is part one because we also have to deal with the whole thing about sacred writings and even more about sacred speech, and also what you can do to help bring more peace into your life through the actions and practices of Jehuti. I am Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku, and we are very pleased at Akeru Temple to be here to help you in your spiritual journey. Please visit us at www.akerukhametictemple.info, akerukhametictemple.info, and you can also visit me at queenmotherimaku.info. Imaku is I-M as in Mary, A-K-H-U. Imaku is the word for reverend because it means sacred vessel. Make your life sacred. Observe sacredness. Observe goodness. Observe stillness. Observe truth. Live truth. Stay blessed. Count your blessings. And know that your best life begins today. Mereya, much love.